Do you know what breakfast cereal is? Well, of course you do. That's what everybody eats for breakfast. I just thought I would, for your consideration this morning, give you just a little bit of information about it. And I'm going to read this information. It comes from Sally Fallon. When you go in the grocery store and you purchase a box of packaged cereal, let me just at least run this past you. These cereals are produced by a process called extrusion. That is our word for today, extrusion. The giant corporations, they take the grains from the farmer, they pay for them, they make them into a slurry, and they put them into a machine called an extruder. That's the process, extrusion. So once it's in the extruder, the grains are forced out of a little bitty, teeny tiny hole at a very high temperature and pressure, which shapes them into little O's and flakes, or it shreds them, or it puffs them. Whatever the desired end result is, that's what they make them into. These are then subjected to sprays that give a coating of oil and sugar to seal off the cereal from the ravages of milk and give it a crunch. Let me read what biochemist Paul Stitt has to say. He's written exclusively or a lot of articles about the extrusion process used for these cereals, which treats the grains with very high heat and high pressure and destroys much of their nutrients. Folks, I know you understand this, but when you take something that has a nutritional value and you put it under tremendous pressure and high heat, you may lose most of the benefits that might actually have come from it. I would be the first to admit that I love the taste of oatmeal, but when you do this to oatmeal, it changes it. The extrusion process destroys the fatty acids. Those are vital to human health. It even destroys the synthetic vitamins that are added at the end. Isn't that interesting? When I read you a study in just a few moments, I think you'll start to understand this. And you'll start thinking to yourself, well, I wonder if there might be a better choice for me than this. The amino acid lysine, which is a critical nutrient, or crucial nutrient, is especially damaged by extrusion. This is how most of the box cereals are made, even those sold in health food stores. They are made in the same way in mostly the same factories. The only advances being made in the extrusion process are those which will cut cost, regardless of how these will alter the nutrient content of the package. See there? Money is the bottom line, isn't it? All right. To me, this is fascinating. This is really what I'm building up to. Most seriously, the extrusion process turns the proteins and grains into neurotoxins. Dr. Stitt wrote about an unpublished experiment conducted in 1942 by a cereal company. Isn't this interesting? Even a cereal company did this. In which four sets of rats were given special diets. One group received the whole wheat, water, and synthetic vitamins and minerals. A second group received the puff cereal. This is, you know, what the extruder does to it. Water in the same nutrient solution. A third set was given water and white sugar. A fourth set was given nothing but water and synthetic nutrients. You're probably thinking, isn't it kind of cruel just to give a rat only water and synthetic nutrients? Okay. The rats that received the whole wheat lived over a year on this diet. The rats that got nothing but water and vitamins lived 2 months. The animals on the white sugar and the water lived about a month. And the study showed that the rats given the vitamins and the water and the puffed wheat, this would be like cereal. They gave them all the puffed wheat they wanted. They died within 2 weeks, even before the rats that got no food at all. Isn't it interesting? The rats that had no food lived for 2 months, but the ones given puffed wheat cereal lived 2 weeks. These results suggest that there was something very toxic in the puffed wheat itself. Proteins are very similar to certain toxins in molecular structure, and the pressure of the puffing process may produce chemical changes that turn nutritious grain into poisonous substance. Anyway, one more. Another unpublished experiment was carried out in 1960. Now, I kind of think this one is interesting too, so consider it. Researchers at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor were given 18 laboratory rats. These were divided into three groups. One group received cornflakes and water. That'd be six rats. A second group was given the cardboard box that the cornflakes came in. I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh at that. Poor rat. Okay. All right, one group was given cornflakes and water. The second group was given the cardboard box that the cornflakes came in and water. And the control group received rat chow and water. The rats in the control group, which is rat chow and water, they remained in good health throughout the experiment. The rats eating the box became lethargic and eventually died of malnutrition, which, duh. The rats receiving the cornflakes and water died before the rats eating the box. You're probably thinking I'm making that up. Well, maybe I am making it up. No, I'm not making it up. Furthermore, before death, the cornflakes-eating rats developed aberrant behavior. They threw fits. They bit each other and finally went into convulsions. Autopsy revealed dysfunction of the pancreas, liver, kidneys, and degeneration of the nerves of the spine, all signs of insulin shock. Wow, we've never talked about stuff like that before, but that was back in 1960. Surely that wouldn't happen today, would it? You know, when I see the behavior of people out in public sometimes, I just wonder, are they eating cornflakes? The startling conclusion of the study was that there was a more nourishment in the box than there was in the cornflakes. This experiment was actually designed as a joke, but the results are far from funny. Oh, boy. Folks, you're probably thinking I'm making this up. I mean, what am I supposed to do when I can read about rats eating the cardboard box that the cornflakes came in was more nutritious than the cornflakes? Oh, boy. You know what I see about once a year? I don't know, this happens a lot more than that. But I will have an individual that will come to see me, and they have such bizarre neurological issues. And when I examine them, let me just say it this way. If I find that their nervous system is malfunctioning or very weak or it's underperforming, and I test them against corn and they test positive, then I usually tell them, avoid corn like the plague if you want to live. But I've had people tell me, oh, my life has changed since I gave up corn. Maybe it was cornflakes they were eating. If you want to join me on the radio this morning, there's a phone line open, 903-586-5257. There was an article that came from England, and this has got to be one of the most phenomenal substances of all time. It's called sulforaphane. It comes from broccoli. Let's go to the phone lines first. Good morning and welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm good. I hope this day finds you and yours well blessed.
Oh, well, thank you very, very much.
Okay, let me start off by saying this. Last year, my fingernails were longer and stronger and more beautiful and healthier than they've ever been in my whole 64 years of living. In January, I had a thyroid test, and it turned out to be normal. Right now, as we speak, my fingernails are just peeling in sheets and layers all the way down to the quick, and I do not know what I have changed or done, or I just can't figure it out.
You did a thyroid test because you just thought that maybe that might be the culprit, right?
Well, it was time for my thyroid test anyway.
Well, are you taking thyroid supplements?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay. So a doctor did an examination, did a lab test. Did anything come up?
No.
Okay.
She said I was in the normal range. And I'm not, you know, lethargic or anything, so
I mean, do you feel fine otherwise?
Yes.
Well, let me just talk about the simple stuff then. Mm-hmm. Your fingernails are made of a substance called keratin, mm-hmm. or protein, if you want to call it that way. Mm-hmm. If I see the stomach weaken even just a little bit at how it processes protein, I'll see the fingernails peel and become very weak like that. So I have an experiment for you. Okay. Do you take any nutritional supplements at all?
Oh, my stars. I've got about 36 bottles over here. Would you like for me to name off some of them to you?
Oh, yes. That would only take 36 minutes to go through.
That's right.
Well, let me give you an idea. The stomach is usually the organ system that I find that weakens when it comes to the nails splitting and peeling like that apart in layers. And so one simple thing that you can do is you can just try taking herbal bitters.
Herbal bitters.
Yeah.
And that's what it's called.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
And I would find this at the granary.
Yes, ma'am. Well, okay. I mean, I'm guessing you would. Sure.
Okay. Now, let me say this. I did have the lap band surgery a couple of years ago, but the year following the first year...
Oh, I know.
Year,
it's just now catching up with you,
yeah,
though.
Oh, okay. Okay, okay.
So, and I'm not going to dwell on that too long, yeah. but your stomach was weakened by the lap band, so okay. Over time, what you're going to find out...
Not the lap band. It was the sleeve. I'm sorry.
Well, either way, all of them take their toll on the stomach, so okay. That's probably all I would... You know, this, can I just make an observation?
Sure.
If I had a nickel for every person that I saw have a stomach procedure for weight loss, mm-hmm. and then 3 years later it was catastrophic failure, I'd have a wheelbarrow full of nickels right now. Mm-hmm. So what I would recommend is either gentian or herbal bitters.
Okay.
And those are so safe. I mean, I don't know that I've ever had one person tell me there was a horrible, horrible... you know, negative result from it. But that might be the simplest, gentlest, easiest way to kind of jumpstart your stomach to see if it can't regain some of its lost function.
Now, is this in a capsule form or something, or liquid, or...?
It can be all the above. And, of course, some of the best ones, they originally started out as a liquid extract. So either they leave them as a liquid extract, or they'll get them and dehydrate in a tablet form. That way you could actually suck on it before you eat.
Okay. All right.
Do you feel any bloating or fullness in your abdomen at all?
Not particularly, but it doesn't take but less than a half cup of food to fill me up. So
okay.
If I take one extra bite, I really get in trouble. So.
I'm not trying to be negative by saying this, but are you having normal, good, high-quality bowel movements?
Oh, never okay. In my whole life, even before the surgery.
Then why don't we just try it very simple? Why don't we try herbal bitters or what's called gentian?
Okay, spell that word.
G-E-N-T-I... A-N, I think, gentian. I hope so.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's going to act as an herbal bitter. But these are things that are great at naturally stimulating improved gastric secretions and gastric function, which is what you want. And this is gentle stuff.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, I know nothing about this, but I've heard people tell me that when they go to the bar, they will get a drink that contains Angora bitters, and they think it has an effect. So, you know, if a person goes to a bar to get an alcoholic beverage that contains Angora bitters, and they say, but it helps my stomach. Well, I mean, yeah. You can probably word anything any way that you want to make it sound like it has a benefit. Just like if somebody says, well, I take speed because it helps me. Well, okay, yeah. But, you know, can't justify it by that.
I drink literally nothing but pH-balanced water. That's how boring I am. Occasionally I drink a cup of chicory.
Well, if you take pH-balanced water consistently, mm-hmm. that's enough to set your stomach off right there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really? So,
believe it or not, in France, they did a nationwide study of their water. And they found out when people drank slightly acidic water, this is where they had the lowest cancer rates anywhere in the country. I found that very intriguing.
Would that be the spring water?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or well water.
Have access to that.
But some people that come to see me, when they're taking higher pH water, like 8 or 9, mm-hmm. I just can't get them well.
Okay.
Too hard on the kidneys.
Oh, okay. Goodness, I thought I was doing good for myself.
Well, I'm not saying that you're not.
Yeah.
It's just something that I would think of, because what that would do is, in your situation, if you add highly alkaline water to your stomach, you're just further neutralizing or snuffing out the acid in your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to a large degree, the number one predictor of how well you're going to start absorbing protein is by the acid level. So, if you're constantly putting out acid in a weakened stomach, then what you have is... See, what you want to do is you want to stimulate acid secretions.
Oh, okay.
See, the thing of it is, even if you go to the store today and buy super nail building formula, well, maybe that will work. But maybe that's not really getting to the crux of the matter. Maybe it's because the stomach is just a little bit weaker and you can't absorb your nutrients. So okay. I tend to be more of a, you know what, the article that I read yesterday morning, I thought it was interesting. And I told my wife about it. And she goes, you know what, everything's just so confusing. We get so much information. But in this article, they took people that were from 18 years of age all the way up to 90, and they let them eat unlimited amounts of high-fat cheese, or they focused on low-fat dairy products, so that could be low-fat milk and low-fat cheese and low-fat yogurt and low-fat this and low-fat that. And they found out that the ones that were eating the higher-fat cheese, meaning the fat hadn't been removed, they were leaner. They were much healthier. They were stronger. They had less blood. But I told her, I said, Ruth, you're not going to believe it, but the ones that focused on low-fat yogurt, they had the most diabetes and the most blood pressure. So
I don't really do low-fat anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you just tried bitters or gentian, you might tell me that you see a very, very pleasing prospect. Some people do better if they take it just before they eat, like 5 minutes before they eat or 15 minutes.
Okay.
You could literally tell me in one day you feel better.
Okay, well, that would help my elimination situation also.
It might, yes, because if there's any sluggishness along your conveyor belt, I realize your stomach's not a conveyor belt, but sort of. I mean, it's got to move stuff through, right?
Yes, it does.
You know how much fun I had as a kid?
No telling.
The grocery store, the big 18-wheeler would pull up to the store, and they had these long ramps that looked like what called roller skating wheels on them, and they'd put boxes on them and just throw them down. Well, the guys would let me get on there and ride it like a skateboard in a box.
Cheap, I thought it was entertainment.
Yeah, it's like a roller coaster to me. What could go wrong?
It does sound kind of fun.
I could crash into a customer and trip them and break their legs. That's just one of the little stunts I pulled. I didn't have a good reputation growing up. I was very mischievous. Can you believe that? It's kind of hard to believe.
Yes, I've met you several times. Yes, I can believe that.
So anyway, if you'll try these things, tell me if it works for you, all right?
Okay. Well, listen, you be blessed today. Thank
all right,
you so
you have
much
a good
for
day.
Your info. All right.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, if you'd like to join me on the radio, 903-586-5257. That's area code 903-586-5257. This is a Health Essentials. It's your program. It really is fun to talk about ways to improve your health. Isn't that satisfying? As you age, oh, I would love it if everybody could end on a good note instead of 30 years of pain and suffering and misery. So you have two options. The writing is on the wall. You're going to have a catastrophic failure from, if I break it down to the top four diseases, you're either going to have a catastrophic failure from a heart attack or some type of vascular situation, or you're going to have a stroke, or you're going to have cancer, or you're going to have diabetes. Maybe I could say number five, arthritis or autoimmune diseases, but one way or the other, the writing's on the wall. All of us are going to face this. Last week on the radio, I heard the fattest city with the most problems, health-wise, was Jackson, Mississippi. Number two was Memphis, Tennessee. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am fine, and I have a problem. I've had it for a while. I have lost my sense of smell. Is there anything I can do?
Do you know what my father-in-law told me?
No.
He told me that I cured him of his loss of taste and smell.
Okay. Well,
I don't know why he's giving me all the credit. All I did was tell him to take zinc.
Zinc.
Yeah, but in his situation, that was the missing link for him, zinc. He just needed zinc.
Okay.
And so that would be one thing that is what I would call somewhat common.
Okay.
The other issue is, is there any chance or possibility you have some type of chronic sinus or infection or something like that?
It started after a long series of sinus infections, okay. But I don't have those any longer.
Can you breathe? through your nose well at night?
I can breathe well through my nose because I do sinus rinses.
What do you use in the rinse?
Med.
Oh, like that Neil Med?
Neil Med.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, there's nothing in there that I know of that causes, loss of smell. But you could easily try, taking zinc.
Okay.
You know what I told the woman earlier about taking bitters?
Yes,
I realize this can be a long conversation. That's probably not what everybody wants, is just me doing overkill on each detail.
Okay.
But I would say if we can improve the absorption of nutrition from the food that we eat,
Then
I think that's directly related to the sense of taste and the sense of smell.
Okay.
So you could easily try bitters and see if there's an astounding improvement or benefit.
Okay. Now, would I take them maybe before each meal?
Yeah, that would be one of the easiest ways to try it. Even if you forget to take them, you could say, okay, I just got through eating, I just now remembered it. You could even try them then. There's nothing to lose. It just may end up being more efficient if you take it prior to the meal. But no, I don't get hung up on things like that, because usually bitters or ginseng, they're just natural substances found in nature. And so this would be very interesting.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. I hope that helps you just a whole lot.
I hope so, too, and I hope you have a very good day.
You too. Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I promise you the information I'm giving you today is not a joke. Even though today's April Fool's, I will not be participating. There are no jokes today, not even one. I'm going to be Mr. Serious. If you want to join me on the radio, there is a phone line open at 903-586-5257. There is a phone line open. If no one calls, I get to talk about broccoli. Do you know what telomeres are? Well, we'll go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. This is Chris Ward. We spoke before.
Yeah, you betcha. I had my microphone turned sideways. Could you hear me?
I could.
Yeah.
I finally got all the tests done that I wanted to have, so when I come to see you, you can help me even more. But in the meantime, Dr. Morgan, I just wanted to say that over the last few weeks, I've heard you allude to detrimental, just an excessive amount or large amount of sugar can be.
Oh, yeah.
And lead to several different problems. And
well, I just read that study about when rats were given sugar, water, and vitamins, they died quicker than any other type of diet.
Yes, sir. And the thing that's really started getting my attention when you started talking about dementia and Alzheimer's and cardiovascular disease, where I'm going with this, Dr. Morgan, is I have literally, since I separated from the military, I literally drank about 10, 12 Cokes a day, and I may or may not eat once.
Well, did they probably encourage that when you push yourself to the limit?
Well, I wasn't. I don't know a charitable way to say this without sounding vain, but I was in a special operations team, and we would have to say that we were sleep deprived at times would be a gross understatement. But
that means you could be awake for 30 hours at a whack, right?
Yes, sir, and we had to consume just large amounts of caffeine.
Is there anything else the military uses more than caffeine to keep a person awake? I don't think so.
No, sir.
Legally, methamphetamines might, but they don't give that.
Right.
Yeah, so you know what it's like to be sleep deprived.
Sir?
Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't understand what you said.
I said, yes, you know exactly what it's like to be sleep deprived and do without sleep.
Yes, sir, I do. And as I mentioned, as I've heard you talk about it over the last several weeks, just the one thing that you said that really, really got my attention is that when you...
I think I lost you there, Chris. Well, sorry, lost the phone call. I don't know how... Sometimes that just happens with cell phones. I was talking to somebody on the phone yesterday, and I dropped it. It just happens. If you want to return to the phone, give me a call, or you want to call me at 903-586-5257. Do you mind if I just share some simple information with you? I read just maybe 15 minutes before I came on the radio. It was just a very simple observational study concerning the drug aspirin. I am completely convinced that aspirin can be a wonder drug. I made a colossal mistake. I decided to save the elephant ears instead of chopping the copperhead in half. I don't have anything against copperheads. But the kids were in the backyard, the dog was going ballistic, and because of my delay, I let the dog run in on the snake to try to protect us, because you know how dogs are. They just go in for the kill when they think that you're, you know, the owner or the master's there. And she got bit in the face twice. But that is one situation where I gave the dog a baby aspirin just to try to save her. And I think under those circumstances, it's probably like a wonder drug. But in the study on human beings, it was saying if you take even a baby aspirin regularly, you have 650% more risk of being hospitalized as compared to the people that don't. Now, I realize that's just one little tidbit of information, because what happens is you know as well as I do, you have 100 people in a room or maybe a church building or a fellowship hall. You have 100 people. And you have a lot of unique differences, and you have people that have certain strengths, and you have others that have this weakness or that weakness. But every aspirin you take, whether it's a baby aspirin or a full-size aspirin, it's just proven to be factual. You're going to lose anywhere between, and this is just the variability among human beings, you're going to lose somewhere between a half a teaspoon, but some people, they lose a table half and a spoon of blood every time they take an aspirin. If you go to the doctor, let me start over here. Let's just say for a few months now, you haven't felt yourself. You feel like you're tired, you're a little bit run down, you still want to go and do stuff, but it may be by sheer force of will that you make yourself get up and go. But you go to the doctor, and the doctor tests you, and you come back, your hemoglobin is low, your hematocrit is low, your red blood cell count's low, maybe even the white blood cell count's low. Well, folks, there's a simple marker called RDW that stands for red cell distribution width. When that's high, say 15, that's an iron deficiency. Yeah, there may be other factors that go along with it, but this just means that you are anemic. You're anemic. The World Health Organization said the number one predictor of early death is being anemic. Well, if aspirin is causing you to leak, you can put two and two together. All right, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I was just listening to your program, and the past couple of days, I woke up with this ache in my chest. It was like a dull ache.
Is there any chance you have your radio on?
Oh, I'll turn it off.
Thanks.
Okay. And, I was feeling real dizzy at work yesterday and tired. Once in a while, I'd get a kind of a sharp pain in my chest. So, I was just wondering what those things might be. I don't think it was a heart attack or a...
Let's hope not.
I just thought maybe you might know something about these symptoms.
Well, I'm having absolutely the hardest time hearing what you're saying because of the road noise.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all right.
Okay, is that better?
Oh, that's perfect. You had me on speakerphone, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Now, that's perfect right there. So what are you most concerned about?
Well, the chest pain, well, and the dizziness was really bad yesterday. I can't figure out why I was so dizzy.
Well, do you normally have any weaknesses or issues that you kind of contend with on a regular basis?
Yeah, headaches, but they've kind of been a lot less lately.
Is that because of a good positive change you've made?
I know you don't like, medicine, but my neurologist prescribed some levetiracetam, mm-hmm. and I've doubled on that dosage, and it's really helped a lot.
Okay. No, I'm all for medications, except when we use medications to cover up symptoms.
Oh, right. Yeah, so, well, I've had them for so long, but this double, since you doubled the dosage, it's helped tremendously, the amount of headaches I've been having. So.
Right. Well, bless your heart. I wouldn't wish headaches on anybody.
Yeah, thank you.
But do you have any type of sense this might be like a reaction to the medication being doubled?
Well, I was really tired a lot, but she said that the way that it uses, it calms down some electrons or something, and it
probably neurotransmitters.
Yeah, that's it. And
what is the name of the drug again? Do you mind if I ask?
Levetiracetam. I'm not sure.
I wouldn't even know how to spell that.
I think it's Keppra. It's a brand name.
Yeah.
Keppra.
I was going to see if I could look that up real quick because I did bring a book with me. I don't have it in this one right here. No, I'll look that up at a different time.
It said anti-seizure medicine.
Right. Well, you know,
it's used on migraine patients.
Well, here's what I can tell you, though. Almost all anti-seizure medications, they cause horrible B vitamin deficiencies. And so if I went straight to a medical textbook and I said, all right, what are the two most common symptoms of a significant B vitamin deficiency in the average person, which is what we're talking about here, it's going to be just tremendous fatigue first thing in the morning. So even though a person may sleep, they wake up just completely exhausted, as if they didn't sleep, and they are cranky and irritable. That's number two. Now, I know none of those apply to you.
Yeah, well, I take B12, but and a multivitamin and D3, but I probably need to take B12 in the morning instead of at night, right?
Well, that's fine by me. It's really hard. I mean, B12 is a water-soluble vitamin. It's hard for me to imagine that you could ever get too much of it.
Oh, all right. Maybe I should take a double dose of that. What would cause dizziness? I've been feeling dizziness for 3 days. It's terrible.
Well, do you think it has anything to do with a sinus or an allergy to what's in the air right now?
I've never had any troubles with allergies.
So that's just not your weakness. Well, I know if you become dehydrated, you can become dizzy very, very easily. So when you go to the bathroom in the morning, is your urine totally clear or is it pretty dark and concentrated?
Yeah, it's dark. I don't have enough water probably. I probably drink too much coffee.
Well, and that in some people acts as a very strong diuretic, and others maybe not so much, but that might be the simplest thing that you could do is just to drink more water.
Yeah, I do. I used to drink a lot of water, and
I really mean this in just a very simple way. It's not indicative of being critical of you at all, but I've had two women come to see me recently with the chief complaint that they had horrible, horrible headaches. And so I'm just going to make it sound just very, very simple. For one woman, the one substance that she was just over-consuming was sugar.
And sugar. I can't eat sugar. It causes headaches.
Yeah,
I don't eat sugar.
Well, if sugar causes headaches, one of the minerals that you might want to strongly consider is magnesium.
Oh, I take a lot of magnesium.
Okay. That's good.
I mean, I've had really bad headaches since 1985, and I've read almost everything on the subject. But
well, the other one, it was wheat. So I could tell you, I've seen several people here lately that severe headaches. So for one person, it was wheat. The other one was monosodium glutamate or MSG. The other one was sugar. I'm just trying to keep that in mind.
Oh, all of that. Yeah, and I try to stay away from wheat, too. Time ago, you said, you told me, eat vegetables and meat for 6 weeks, and it worked. I don't remember having a headache.
Well, good job. Maybe you can work on your levels of hydration and try to get that up just a little bit. So, in my fantasy world, you'd be on the top of a mountain right now, and there would be like a bubbling, perfect spring coming out right into your hands where you could just lap up perfect water.
Yeah,
as a deer pants for water. But one thing that you may try, though, is you might try just a teeny tiny amount of baking soda and water. And when I say a tiny amount, maybe just a fourth of a teaspoon. And if you will, what I would do if it were me is I would take advantage of either lemons or limes. And, you know, sometimes I can just ask a person, have you been craving lemons lately? And they'll go, oh, my word, for the last 2 weeks, I just want, you know, to make myself lemon water or lime juice.
Yeah, me too.
Well, if that's the case.
I have.
Well, we need to give you some electrolytes because that's probably what you're low in.
Yeah.
If
I said coconut oil and fish oil helps with the amino acids with headaches. And so I tried that. I mean, I'll try anything.
Well, sure. But well, did that prove to be correct?
It helped. Yeah, it did help. It sure did.
What would happen if you drank less coffee and you just had more water?
Oh, I probably wouldn't be dizzy.
You know the water they sell in the, there's a green glass bottle on the shelf at the store. It's called Mountain Valley Spring Water.
Oh.
I'm telling you, I feel good when I drink that stuff.
Mountain Valley.
That's been shown to be one of the purest, greatest healing waters of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Mountain Valley Spring Water.
Well, to me, it doesn't taste as good, but I'll...
How dare you disrespect my favorite water that I like.
Sorry. Okay, yeah, but I'll try it. Yeah.
Well, maybe we can alter it by adding some lemon juice to it or lime juice.
Yeah.
See, you know what you've talked me into? I'm going to the store, and I'm going to buy 5 limes when I leave here.
I will, too. I like limes.
You know why I'm buying 5?
Why? Oh,
because they cost a dollar.
Oh,
they're five for a dollar. Evidently, that sales pitch works on me.
Okay, good. Well, can I ask you a question? I heard you mention Jim Nima last Saturday. What is that?
Jim Nima is an herb. You don't know what I'm looking at in front of me, but it's an article about how to rejuvenate cells, which I realize is the topic that may not be discussed just anywhere, but I love talking about it. But it's called Rejuvenation or Cell Regeneration. But our number one on the list when somebody has pancreatic problems or diabetic problems or insulin problems is Jim Nima. Jim Nima is a rare herb. It comes from India. That's been shown to rejuvenate the cells of the pancreas, especially the beta cells of the pancreas. So if, for instance, if somebody said, I can't control my cravings of sugar, well, you won't be eating sugar if you take Jim Nima. Or if you set my blood sugar super high, I can usually cut blood sugar in half just with Jim Nima.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it has regenerating qualities, which I don't know of a drug that regenerates or rejuvenates anything. So I'm not trying to be Mr. Anti-Drug, but I'm just thinking, are we really fixing the person?
Right, yeah. I don't like to take a lot of drugs either, but when it came to my headaches, I was, and I didn't want to take, I didn't think doubling that Keppra would help, but it has.
I know, but it's just kind of, it's turning off electrical transmission, so it's an anti-seizure medication, but... The Keppra is very, very famous for causing B vitamin deficiencies. So I don't have like a magical way that I can tell exactly to what degree it causes you to be deficient, but I would just assume that it does. But I tell you what I will do. I will see if I can like look that up. You know, the book that I have in front of me is called The People's Guide to Deadly Drugs and Interactions. And I was just kind of thumbing through it just, you know, to learn this morning. But I want to... I don't think this has Keppra in here, but it's seizure medications. Let me look that up real quick.
Yeah.
Or anti-seizure medications. That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
But anyway, years ago I was reading an article about every good positive function that's produced within the human body takes place in a medium of water. And so in this article it said even if a person is just 2% low in water, just 2%, that results in a 20% reduction in energy. So that's wow. kind of always, you know, stuck with me.
Yeah. Well, I do try to think about drinking water. I don't think about it as often as I used to. I have a question, one more question. I have heard that water is the best thing for the body, but then I hear some people say, oh, I drink tea or I drink coffee and it's the same thing. Does tea and coffee do the same thing? I know coffee
No, it doesn't. It just doesn't do the same thing. Now, if you told me you're going to take your water and you're going to stir beet powder into it, I'd say, yeah, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
Or, I'm not being fair here. This is what I should have said. If you told me that you love drinking herbal teas, so you go to the store and you see one called Raspberry Zinger on the shelf and you want to try it, I would say that's the same as water. But if it was regular black tea where they've added something to it, yeah, anytime that you add either sugar to the water or an artificial sweetener, you definitely change it. But no, I would not say that coffee or tea is the same as drinking water.
I didn't think so either, but I'm not going to argue with these people.
Oh, well, me either. It just doesn't do any look of good, does it?
No. So, okay, great. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a great day, ma'am.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye, doctor.
All right, if you want to join me on the radio this morning, there's a phone line officially open. I have this in front of me, and I can't find the reference point, but it says, a 2010 study, for instance, found that a combination of blueberry, which everybody knows what a blueberry is, it's a little fruit, tastes great, green tea, it promotes nerve regeneration. Could that be important to know? Yes. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Dr. Morgan. How are you this blessed morning?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
Oh, thank you for being there. I have two situations with people that I know.
Which one's the worst? Let's do the worst one first.
I'm joking.
Okay. Go ahead.
Blood clot.
Yeah.
I have a young man that he's a bodybuilder and all of this. But anyway, he had been to the doctors, and they had told him that he had strained a muscle and all this. Well, about a week or so later, he had to go back to the ER. He was in so much pain, and they found that he was just full of blood clots.
Now, when you say bodybuilder, are we talking about just he thinks he's a bodybuilder, or is he really seriously a bodybuilder?
I would think serious. He's been doing this for a number of years.
We're not just talking about somebody in their backyard that does 100 push-ups a day, right?
I don't know how many he does.
You know,
he's in the gym a lot.
Well, let me tell you a couple observations that I've made over the years.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when these individuals take what I would call super high-protein diets, mm-hmm. I mean, to me, this sounds extreme. Maybe nobody else agrees, but they'll take eggs, and they will remove the yolks from the eggs, and they'll just eat egg whites. And I'm thinking to myself, the body is going to break down. You can't absorb the protein properly without the fat. And so mm-hmm. what I see is I see the tendons snapping and breaking and tearing. Number two, so high-protein diets, they can actually cause the blood to become thick, if you ask me, if there's too much protein. But if a person pushes themselves, there was a story about the 6 basketball players this last week at the university that all suffered from a condition called rhabdomyolysis. At least that's the way I pronounce it. Rhabdomyolysis. That means your skeletal muscles begin to break down. They get in the bloodstream and they clog up your kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a game of pickup sticks where you take the little bee sticks and you pick them up trying not to move the other ones to win the game.
Oh, yeah.
But under a microscope, it looks like a horrible log jam and a blood clot forms. Because you have all these fibroblasts, you have skeletal muscles, but that's just that can be a deadly, deadly condition. So there are a class of drugs that cause that. Statins do that. But is there any chance that he's taking steroids? Because that would definitely cause this also.
He used to. I'm not sure he still takes steroids, but I know at one time he did.
You know what I secretly believe?
What do you secretly believe?
I believe that every time that a person goes to the ER and they've had a blood clot or a stroke, I think the ER doctor says, great. I wonder when the last time they took steroids or birth control pills. Now, obviously, he's not taking birth control pills. But it's a hormonal response, and so I would venture a guess. We would probably cut strokes and blood clots down to 80% less within a year if people weren't prescribed so many hormones or steroids.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a guess. But in the meantime, I always use enzymes to dissolve them. I mean, they're found in nature. You could use plant-based enzymes. You could use pancreatic enzymes. Enzymes are these little activators that help break that stuff down.
Okay.
There's an enzyme called natokinase. I think it's made from fermented soybeans, and there's one called serrapeptase. And those are things that when you swallow them, they help dissolve clots. I read
what's that first one?
It's called natokinase. NATTO. Usually they just call it NATO.
Okay.
Maybe that's like the Japanese pronunciation.
Okay.
You know, I can say the number one in Japanese to impress you if you really require that.
Okay, Dr. Morgan.
but it's called, you're looking at natokinase, or you're looking at Serra, S-E-R-R-A, peptase.
Okay.
Or you're looking at plant-based enzymes, but these will actually get in the bloodstream. But they've been shown to be extremely beneficial at dissolving clots. I had a man come to see me, and they said, we're going to have to do a heart transplant because there's a huge clot in the lung. In the heart, and they said, it'll never go away. I'm thinking to myself, that's just about half ridiculous. I said, we can just dissolve it with hawthorn. And lo and behold, they did a study on hawthorn, the herb. And guess what it does? It dissolves clots. Interesting to know.
That is.
Well, let me ask you this, and this is not a joke at all, but what is the risk of taking a plant enzyme? I've never heard of one.
There is no risk in that.
I mean, if a person tells me their tummy's a little bit upset, well, that might be the worst thing that happens, but it's not going to kill you. There's no horrible drug interactions. No.
So, that's true.
So that might be something that I would consider. But mm-hmm. but definitely, when there's a blood clot, I am doing everything within my power to ultimately correct the thickness and the stickiness of the blood. So,
correct.
If he's on a very...
They gave him blood thinners.
Yeah, of course.
Well,
yeah.
In about a week, they dissolved the ones in the lungs. They sent him home with, I guess, medication, what have you, to dissolve those in his legs, and he was to keep the legs elevated. Okay, he was rushed back to the hospital the other day, and they had to pump his stomach, which ended up being nothing but blood and so forth. And I'm thinking they may have given him too much blood thinner.
You think?
Yep.
That's the whole thing I talked about earlier, is just taking one small baby aspirin is going to cause blood loss somewhere.
Exactly.
And so a lot of those things, if they cause the lining of your stomach to leak profusely, I mean, that's just horrible. They probably looked at his blood and said, do we need to give him a transfusion now from the side effects of the blood thinners? This guy walks in my office Thursday, sweetest guy in the world, but they gave him a shot of a blood thinner. It looked like somebody took a baseball bat and hit him. It was a big, huge, purple, brown, yellow, orange bruise on his side. But it was where they gave the injection of the blood thinner. They thought he was having maybe a heart attack. He wasn't having a heart attack, thank the good Lord. But, I mean, blood thinners, oh, my goodness. He might as well
have gotten...
It looked like a werewolf bit him in the side, almost.
Well, that's the reason I do not take aspirin. I was put on an aspirin regimen.
I wonder if his wife bit him and they just didn't tell me that. Anyway, go ahead.
I'm going to share that with her. That'll be a good laugh for them right about now. They're going through it.
Well, I really wish your friend the very best. That's got to be an earth-shattering bit of news to come down with.
It is. It's really my nephew. The other one is a friend of mine. She has cataracts, and she waited too long to go and see about it. They're telling her there's nothing they can do about it. She's blind now. So all she sees is just white light. She sees nothing else at all.
Yeah, the cataracts are gone. That's all she's got is a lens replacement.
They're saying there's nothing they can do for her, so that's probably...
Oh, they cannot do a cataract surgery?
No, they said it wouldn't help her at all.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, yes, tell me more. There's got to be some detail I'm not thinking of then.
I don't know. I know she has sugar diabetes and high blood pressure. What else she has, I have no idea. I know she swells a lot. Her body has swollen.
I saw a woman this week, and they never told her that she was going to have horrible cataracts from taking cortisone. They didn't tell her that, because she told me straight to my face, she said, I'm in my early 50s. I've already had both lenses replaced due to cataracts because of the steroids.
Okay.
So I don't understand. You mean they say that the condition of her eye is so deteriorated they can't even replace the lens?
They can't. They said surgery would not help her in any way.
Oh, my word. Well, goodness. So well, what are you asking me, then?
Is there anything, in your opinion, that can help her in any way?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of a radical person here, but first things first, what you have to do is you have to get her sugar to go from 245 every day down to about 89 or 90.
Okay.
And so does she take insulin injections?
Now, the last that I have been with her, she was on a tablet.
And so she's not taking injectable insulin, right?
At that time, I don't know about now.
Well, I mean, I don't know the whole situation, but is there any chance that she's taking some type of steroid long-term to destroy your eyes?
Not that I know of.
Well, if we could reverse the blood pressure and the diabetes, that would help. It's hard not to recommend either a paleo diet or a slow-carb diet or a ketogenic diet. A ketogenic diet, definitely, your body has to switch gears and start converting fat into energy, which is very, very advantageous, because when you do that, that's probably one of the greatest strategies of all time of lowering insulin levels and carbohydrate levels. Because until you get insulin levels low enough and carbohydrates low, you can't have any rejuvenation of the nerves or any repair. But there's a lot of things that I like. I like Gymnema. I'm not trying to say that's going to be a cure-all for, but we're looking for anything that can promote regeneration of the tissues.
Regeneration, right.
You know what curcumin is? Or turmeric?
Curcumin. Yes,
That may be one of the top of the list when you're trying to rejuvenate nerves.
Okay.
Or liver function. Or pancreas function. Or skin. Probably keep going. Because, I mean, it's just, you don't have to be that smart to look at 20,000 articles and go, you know what, I think it helps every cell in the body.
Yes, I remember you saying that before.
Oh, man, so I don't understand about the ideal. Here's what I would say, though. If it were me, the eyes use an incredible amount of energy, maybe number two to the brain. So if we can restructure that or change it, we might actually start. And that's one of the reasons why... I know I'm kind of going to get too far off in this right here, but let me just say this. I was reading an article about people that have had massive brain trauma. So they had a major, major, if you want to call it a concussion, if you want to call it a stroke, brain damage. They show that the greatest amount of neuronal repair or nerve regeneration in the brain is if a person fasts for 3 days. And I kind of thought to myself, really? You mean if you're not eating food and you just go on water only, this will be the circumstance by which your brain repairs itself the fastest? And I thought, hey, that's free.
So a
ketogenic diet might be something she wants to look into for the sake of trying to rejuvenate her eyes.
You said ketogenic?
Ketogenic, yeah. K-E-T-O. And then the word genesis, if you want to say that. Ketogenesis.
Okay.
Just an idea.
I want to share that with her family and let them all, you know, come together and make a decision.
Have you ever heard of blueberries?
Oh, I love them.
Blueberries have really, really been...
You started me on those.
Yeah, I'm trying to diabolically trick you into being healthy and strong and ultra radiant.
Yes.
We won't. Everybody calls you Mrs. Radiance, don't they?
No, not really.
Oh, what does your son call you?
Just that. He think I am.
Well, that's right. He's awesome. But blueberries have got to be one of the greatest foods of all time to promote cell regeneration or rejuvenation of the eyes.
I eat them every day. I didn't like them. I used to not like them, but I kept eating them because You always talk about how good they are for you. They're very helpful.
Now, well, see, there, look at you. You adjusted your attitude,
really,
and now you like them.
Yes, I do. I eat them every day.
I have a little girl looking at me right now. I'm thinking about forcing her against her will to eat a blueberry when we get home. Do you think I should do that?
No, don't force her. Hi, sweetheart.
Did you hear her, Noli?
Don't, no. Don't force her, but
her name is Magnolia, but we call her Noli for short.
Hi, Magnolia.
She's shaking her head because she doesn't have headphones on. Only I do. The headphones are right there, Noli. Anyway, but blueberries. I'm not gonna say too much about this, but I'm just gonna throw this out here.
Mm-hmm.
When the eyes are an issue, there's two or three things that I always think of just to see if it will help. And so this is kind of not a pleasant conversation, but I'll tell you this: they take the eyeballs of cows and they make what are called ocular protomorphogens from them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had several cases to where surgery was the only option, and they said this is going to go very, very badly if we don't do surgery, only to see them just about completely heal in 1 month on eye protomorphogens. But yes, it comes from a cow's eye, and I realize that might be offensive to some people. To me, I'm not offended by that, but some people are, so I respect that. But
yes,
I'm personally not offended by cow tissue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you told me that you were cooking a New York strip steak for me right now, I would have to find a... Where do you live again? I'll come straight to the house. But I've seen that work very, very well. And, you know, sometimes I know it's working because the eyes are worse for about 3 days. And I always think to myself, Roy, you have finally hit the nail on the head, son. They're calling and they're telling you their eyes are worse. But the eyes are very, very reactive to healing, so when they do heal, they almost always get just a little bit worse before they get better.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I'm just really a big fan of, I'm sure all the eye doctors are just cringing at my words this morning, I just love castor oil.
Yes.
And some old-time people, that was their remedy to try to restore the eyes, was a drop of castor oil. Got nothing to lose.
Well, that sounds really, really good. I'm, like I said, I want to talk with her family and give them this information and let them brainstorm over it. And
well, there you
come
go.
To their own,
well,
you know,
thanks a whole bunch. I really enjoyed visiting with you today, and thanks for loving these two people.
Here. I'll see you in about 3 weeks.
All right, sounds good. Thank you, ma'am.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
The other thing, you know what I'm curious about? If the eyes are gone, I wonder if there's been like... there's got to be more than just a cataract. I bet you anything. You know what the number one cause of blindness is? It's macular degeneration. This program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. This is the radio station that makes it all possible. KBJS, FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, Longview.